Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Well, I hope you have a great weekend, whatever it is. And me? Oh. All kinds of things. Far too many to even start talking about. Yeah, pretty much. That's right. Cutting the grass, and that's about it. And playing with Teddy the dog. And I don't know if you heard what I told the doctor before, but, you know, they rip the stuffing out of these dogs and out of these toys. And maybe it's a pig or maybe it's a duck or whatever it is. And then it winds up looking like somebody had had too much weight loss medicine because it's just skin and there's nothing there. It's just sagging skin. Thank you, Dave. Ian McNulty joins us now. Pardon me?
What an intro. That's great.
Yeah. No, but it's true. That's what it looks like. That's the only thing I thought of is I'm holding what used to be ducky or piggy. It's just skin. It's like, wow, you had a little bit too much of that weight loss drug. Well, where is Ian
Go ahead. I am here to inflate you, my friends. I am here to pump back up with good food stuff. Tons of good food stuff to talk about this week, Tommy. We've got a new French bistro downtown, taking over a very well-known restaurant spot in the Warehouse District. We've got a Metairie po' boy shop hitting a major milestone birthday this week. Sadly, we have the last days for two really terrific restaurants coming up this weekend. And we've got Jazz Fest Part Deux with lots of great food out there, including my own creative Jazz Fest DIY food mashups. Where do you want to begin on that menu?
I would start with Jazz Fest and the part deux.
That's right. This is Act Two for Jazz Fest, the second weekend. And, you know, people ask me, like, what I'm excited about or who I saw at a Jazz Fest. And the first weekend, it's all food names. It's all Crawfish Monica, Crawfish Bread, Vaucresson Po' Boy. You get the picture. It's all food for me. I've been slicing and dicing. I've got many stories up on NOLA.com right now and my Instagram feed is just a cornucopia of the culinary from out there at Jazz Fest. So if you're craving sweets, savory, snacks, what's new, what's classic, check out NOLA.com or Ian McNulty NOLA, and you can get a glimpse of that. But my latest endeavor is my DIY mashups. And in the spirit of improv, in the spirit of, oh, I don't know, Irma Thomas wandering on stage with the Rolling Stones, sometimes a little improv out there. Sometimes I mash up my own little jam session. And
that's a nice memory you brought up just now. You know that?
Irma and Rolling Stones?
Yeah, especially considering that she did the song Time Is On My Side first and the Stones covered her version.
Look, those guys are all getting up there. I'm so glad they finally had the opportunity to play with real royalty, with you know, the Rolling Stones all the way out here, and have the opportunity to meet Irma Thomas. I thought that was really special.
Guys, I'm glad you brought that up. Now let's talk about your mashups.
Yes, okay. So the classic one is this, and you can follow along if you like, picture pages style on Instagram right now, because the first one's up there. I was holding a bag of cracklin', and I thought, wow, this is really good. I love cracklin' at Jazz Fest. I really love that Cochon de Lait po' boy. You know, in the spirit of what the winemakers say, what grows together goes together. You know, pair the wines of the region with the food of the region. And what if I combine this cracklin with this Cochon de Lait, this roasted pork, this Cajun-style roasted pork, and thus a monster was born, Tommy. It is a Cochon de Lait po' boy studded with crunchy wonks of fried cracklin'. And it's a little ridiculous. It's very much over the top. But in the spirit of Jazz Fest, dang, it's a lot of fun. And it's decadent. And it's definitely something you want to split with people because it's really heavy.
So you take the cracklins and you put them on the Cochin de Lait po' boy. And correct. It's a different taste sensation and textures and everything else.
Exactly right. And the cracklin was the start of this. It was 1 year at Jazz Fest, there were almost no new dishes to try. There were exactly two. One was a brownie. Okay, so there was really not a lot going on with new food out there. And new food is one of the things that I cover at Jazz Fest. So I had to get creative. And, you know, I followed my muse. And the muse took me by the hand and led me to the cracklin stand. And I basically started applying cracklin to anything that would hold still long enough to take it. And not all the experiments were good. You know, I thought, cracklin on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Bacon and peanut butter. It's kind of an intuitive pairing. No, does not work. The bread is too weak for the cracklin. It just turns into a sticky mess.
Mm-hmm.
But, Tommy, you take that mm-hmm. same cracklin and you put it in the Prejean's gumbo, that dark rue gumbo. And hat tip to Stanton Moore for this one, the drummer for Galactic. He's the one who mm-hmm. showed me this one. And suddenly, your gumbo has andouille, quail, pheasant, and basically meaty, crisp skinned pork croutons with that roux all clung to it. Delicious and fun. And every time I talk about this with people, they have their own riffs. So I'm not claiming to be the you know, the Willy Wonka inventor of all this stuff. I'm sharing the joy with people and bringing hopefully the light of heavy food and heavy times to show like what fun it can be to go on a food romp at this big festival that we celebrate every year.
But you know what? Hang on 1 second, because I want to open that Open Heart Jeweler talking text line to mashups that people have made on their own. And it doesn't have to be Jazz Fest food, just things that you've decided to mash up like Ian McNulty did with the cracklins and the Cochon de Lait po' boy, but just maybe stuff you eat every day that you've decided to mash up that people would not think of eating together, but they do. I think you've just struck a vein of gold, Ian McNulty.
Let me give you another one. So sometimes they're obvious. Sometimes they're right in front of you, right? So mm-hmm. that same gumbo, that Prejean's gumbo at Jazz Fest, Food Area 2, right next door is Mrs. Wheat's meat pies. Mm-hmm. You take that meat pie and you dunk it in the gumbo, and it's mm-hmm. like a Cajun French dip, Tommy. Mm-hmm. You know, especially after that first bite, once you open up that meat pie, mm-hmm. Roux is getting in there, mixing with the flaky crust, with the meat within. Delicious. It's almost like you know, birria tacos. So yeah, it's like Creole birria tacos, but it's a meat pie. Here's another one. This one's pretty decadent, okay? But again, right next door to each other. Mm-hmm. The soft-shell crab po' boy from Galley Seafood. This is at Jazz Fest. Take that, then go next door to the Agent Cajun stand, where they have a crab stick and cucumber salad with tobiko, the little fish roe. This is like you put that salad on top of the soft-shell crab po' boy, and it is like a New Orleans soft-shell crab po' boy took a trip to the sushi bar. Or, like, you just went to Sider Seafood in Harahan, because Jason Sider does a lot of stuff like this, too. Mm-hmm. And then you take some of the sambal alec sauce that they have at the Agent Cajun stand, and you give a few squirts over that, and it's perfection. It looks really cool, too. You can see it on NOLA.com, the model that I threw together. It's that fried soft shell crab, but the bright notes of the crab stick, not really crab, is it seafood product, with cucumber and a little pop of that fish roe, and then that bright red earthy chili sauce on there just to give it a zap. Fantastic. And you're going to walk around with this thing, and I'm telling you, 20 people are going to ask you, what is that, where did you get it? You say, I made it. It's a DIY Jazz Fest food mashup.
I'm just thinking about, you know, your job and
yes, this is a job.
The fact that you have nothing else to do than think of mashing up Jazz Fest foods together. And you do it successfully. You do it very well. I'm just thinking, you know, some poor guys out there digging a ditch, somebody else, you know, running cables.
First of all, I have been a ditch digger in the past. I have experience with that. I know that the job I have now does beat digging ditches, so mm-hmm. I can say that with authority. But this is not the only thing I do. I multitask like nobody's business. Because whilst doing all this, you can go to NOLA.com and see the news of Paran Po' Boys.
Wait, hang on a second. I want to get to one more mashup. I want to do the Boudin Ball grilled cheese mashup because that looks pretty good to me.
Yeah, this is a great one. And it's the cheapest of the bunch. I mean, that soft shell crab po' boy runs pretty high this year. So, you know, you're throwing some money at this experiment. But this one is simple. You go to the Boudin stand, Food Area 1. You get the Boudin balls. I think it's like $7. You get 3 Boudin balls. Just eat one right away on its own because they're delicious. Mm-hmm. And while you're eating that, walk over to the Joyce's Lemonade stand. Most people are in line there for the lemonade, but they also make a grilled cheese sandwich. This used to be over in the kids' area. So, you know, grilled cheese sandwich for the kids. You order a grilled cheese sandwich, white bread, American cheese. That's the way to go. You peel it open, like lifting the lid of a car. You take one of the Boudin balls. You mash it in there. You mash it down so it spreads across the sandwich. You put the other half of the bread back down. You've got a butter crisp grilled cheese sandwich Boudin ball mashup that they'd be proud to serve you at any gas station butcher shop in Acadiana, I promise you. And that sandwich is like $5. The Boudin balls are 7, but you get 3 of them. So you can do this several times if you're with some friends out there. And it's fantastic. And it's fun. And it's delicious. And it's the spirit of Jazz Fest, just to make your own little traditions and rituals and fun little riffs out there to make the mega event your own.
Well, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Some of the smash-ups that are coming in are mash-ups on the text line. Cracklin' and mixed them in Creole potato salad. Excellent. Somebody else said they eat peanut butter and cold ketchup together, which is
weird.
Interesting. Yeah, that's kind of strange. And somebody else said they make banana pudding with mayonnaise, which doesn't sound particularly good to me, but hey, to each his own. If y'all got a mashup that you do, we'd love to hear from them. 504-260-1870. Somebody else says, smash a Boudin ball on a nice homemade biscuit and drizzle it with Tabasco pepper jelly. Now, that could work because, again, you know, you're talking about chicken and waffles. That's a mashup, right? That's one thing that you wouldn't think necessarily would go together. It works perfectly. Ian McNulty's our guest. We're talking eating and drinking. You're welcome to be part of the conversation. 504-260-1870. We'll talk about some restaurants and outside of Jazz Fest food when we come back on WWL. About 6 minutes left with Ian McNulty, and then we're going to talk to Tyler Shucks, high school coach, and get some background on the newest Saints quarterback. Let's talk about the Paran's Po' Boys and some other places that you wrote about, Ian.
Yeah, that's right. That's one of the ones I mentioned for the break. Paran's is one of those old-school Po' Boy shops. You just go in and it just feels eternal. Well, it comes by that vibe naturally. It opened in 1975, so it's been around for 50 years. And this week they're celebrating that.
It's hard to believe,
huh? Sorry?
50 years. That's hard to believe. That's a long time.
Right? Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. The current owners, the Hornbrooks, excuse me, Al and Laurel, they took over in the 90s, and they really kicked it into a new gear, expanded it, later on added the second location out in Kenner. They had a third one uptown on Britannia Street that lasted a few years, closed a couple years back, kind of pandemic thing. The anchor of it all is the same as it ever was. It's just classic Po' Boys. They expanded the menu quite a bit. The seafood muffalata there is a classic. You know, it's the kind of place where plate lunches still reside, like a melaton casserole, that kind of thing. But the bread and butter is roast beef Po' Boys, fried shrimp Po' Boys, meatball Po' Boys, that kind of thing. And so this week they're doing a special in there. You can get the details, you know, from the shop. It's a good deal on a couple, kind of a two po' boy combo kind of deal for, it continues until tomorrow. But congrats to them, you know, because it's tough out there for restaurants. We've seen a couple really special ones in New Orleans are shutting down this weekend. So for a place like Paran's to make it 50 years, you know, hats off to them. And that's the kind of longevity that I love to see in the restaurant scene. The two that are closing are related. MoFo in Mid-City. Mm-hmm. So anytime casual spot with just really creative, interesting cuisine based on Southeast Asian flavors. Not a Vietnamese restaurant, but kind of taking those flavors and really creating an original cuisine out of it, but keeping it casual and approachable. And then its upscale counterpart downtown, Maypop. Now, Maypop was right across the street from that building that collapsed in December, the building that houses Louisiana Endowment for Humanities and other offices, an old historic.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Building right in the middle of the CBD. It collapses basically right across the street from Maypop and throws a restaurant that was, frankly, you know, trying to make the turn, trying to be financially viable through the pandemic and all that. And, you know, you put a collapsed building on its doorstep, and then, I don't know if you've been down there lately, but that block, while it's open to traffic, it is barely open to traffic. All these months later, there's still barricades all over the place. It's hard to park. It looks like a contested border crossing. Not a great situation down there. And that, I'm told by the chef, was the nail in the coffin for Maypop. Mofo, just, you know, declining business. And there's the rub, Tommy, because I posted the news about these places closing, and for Mofo in particular, people couldn't believe it. They were in my ear constantly. I was at a jazz fest. All people wanted to do was talk about Mofo closing because it was a favorite place. It was a very popular restaurant, but popular isn't always the same thing as busy when it's time to pay the bill. So the moral of the story here is, you know, if there's a place that you love, your visit will not go unappreciated, especially when summer sets in. And that was the cue for the owners, the chef owners there. They were like, listen, summer's coming up. We see the numbers. We just can't do it. We're not going to be able to make it through summer. And then, you know, hope for the rebound in the fall, which is what almost all restaurants do in this town. And it's a bad situation that's getting worse with the higher costs. Insurance being a huge one of them. Please, somebody in a position of power, please put your attention on that instead of all this other nonsense. It really would help out your constituents everywhere a whole lot, including us restaurant lovers. So, you know, farewell to Mofo and Maypop. You've got a couple more days. They're both closing on Sunday for the last hurrah. But we needn't leave it on that. I know time's running short. There's a great new restaurant you can check out downtown also. Tommy's Cuisine was around for 20 years on Chapultepec Street, right by Emerald's restaurant. They closed late last year. As some new guys took over, and they just opened a couple weeks ago. It's called Lemoyne Bistro, as in Lemoyne, the founder of Colonial New Orleans. And it's French, and it's lovely, and it's a really nice reinvigoration of a place that a lot of people have been into over the years at Chapultepec and Julia. Upscale, real fresh take on French flavors. Not messing around with it too much, but just giving it a lift off of the standard template. And first look at it was very impressive. These are the same guys who have the restaurant Plates around the corner. And it's connected to a wine and oyster bar called Maria's that used to be Tommy's Wine Bar. And it literally is connected. You can walk from one to the other. So that's a cool new addition for downtown.
So give me an example of something that you would eat there.
At Lemoyne, you get tuna nichoise, which is a big hunk of yellowfin tuna, sliced with boiled egg and some like fresh vegetables around it. You get an onion soup, which is so French, I don't have to call it French onion soup. You get the steak tartare shot through a little chili oil, and you're getting a beef short rib carbonade, which is sort of like a bœuf bourguignon of French chef fame. But imagine that same dish cooked in Belgium, in beer country instead of in wine country, and you've got the beef short rib carbonade. You can see a picture of it on my Instagram at Ian McNulty Nola, and you can see how that beef just flakes apart in a really dark, rich gravy. Just really good, classic continental cooking, just elevated a little bit with a local eye from some New Orleans guys, a lot of whom came out of the Link Restaurant Group, that constant hit maker. And so, you know, people who came up to that group are now spreading their wings at a lot of different restaurants, and Lemoyne Bistro is another good example of that.
I have a highly refined palate. I like steak tartare, but only if it's well done. Somebody texted in some mashups, jambalaya and mashed potatoes, a lot of starches there. Somebody said boiled shrimp cut up and baked into cornbread.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And then there's this, hot fudge nachos.
Okay, that's strange.
That is strange.
My palate around it here, Tommy. I'm getting that chocolate, and I like sea salt on my chocolate, you know, and then the rich hot fudge sauce.
So is it really that different?
Try something like that.
I'm going to give you 60 seconds left. Give me some Jazz Fest desserts quickly.
Ah, okay. The we're talking chocolate. It's going to be a little hot out there. Go to the gelato booth. It's over by the Gentilly stage. The chocolate Azteca, deeply rich, and got a little flicker of heat to it. Tiala's, it's a new booth, back for their second year. They got a bananas Foster's cheesecake. All these pictures are on my Instagram, by the way. It's really, really good. And, oh, gosh, that bread pudding with white chocolate sauce from Kaluta's. They're best known for their king cakes throughout the year. But they make that crawfish strudel out there, which is not a dessert. But that bread pudding is absolutely terrific. And our oysters dessert, I don't know, Tommy, but I got to give them another plug. Every day I've been out there, I've been starting with at least a half dozen oysters from the Lady Nelly stand. They're doing the off-bottom oysters that are growing in the waters near Grand Isle, but they're the elevated, beautiful, refined kind, tad more expensive. But, man, if you just want that fresh pop of a really refined oyster out there at Jazz Fest, I mean, don't walk away with them. Just go to the stand, get some oysters, pop them down. You can recycle the shells on the spot, and it's a fabulous new addition to Jazz Fest. Oysters are energy, and those have been my little vitamin pops every morning starting out up there.
A pleasure as always, Ian McNulty. Thank you. And don't forget about the praline stuffed beignet that just can't be as delicious as it looks. Oh. Thank you, sir. 9:35, 25 till 10. Quick look at traffic. Then we're going to talk to Tyler Shucks, high school coach, and get the background on the Saints' newest quarterback as he was growing up. Right now, traffic, WWL. It is 9:42, 18 till 10. Quick note here. There's been a heck of an earthquake off the coast of Argentina and south of Argentina, and the coast of Chile is at risk of a hazardous tsunami. So we'll watch how that unfolds. It happened about an hour ago. About a week ago, the Saints drafted Tyler Shuck as a quarterback, and we thought it'd be interesting to talk to his high school coach, Dick Banaszewski, to see what kind of young man Tyler Shuck is and what it was like to coach him. Good morning, Coach. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. Thanks for taking the time with us. Tell me about Tyler Shuck. How did you first meet him and interaction with him?
Tyler came into our program as a freshman. He was a baseball player and a football player. And I think, you know, in the beginning, everybody kind of thought he was going to be a baseball player. And then he just developed, you know, did a great job. Our school has a great football program. We played all over the country. At one point, we had a 154 game win streak. We won 7 state championships. And Tyler was the first athlete, the first quarterback in probably about 10 or 12 years to start both his junior and his senior year for us. Cause it, for, you know, for the previous 12 years, it was always a senior. So I think, you know, when Tyler came in, he was special.
And what's the name of the high school coach?
Hamilton High School in Chandler, Arizona.
So you guys also produced Brock Purdy, is that right?
No, Brock Purdy came out of the school down the street from us, Perry High School.
Okay.
We had Terrell Suggs came from Hamilton, Cody Bellinger, some names you might recognize. So we've had some good athletes come out of our school.
So tell me about, it seems like when you talk about the baseball player and he was going to be a baseball player, and then you mentioned word athlete, this guy is a pure athlete first, right? And then football player, or how would you phrase that?
You know, I think he's a very athletic quarterback because I think his decision-making and his leadership ability puts him in a different category as far as him being a thinking athlete, but you know, obviously physically, I mean, you got a 6'5 guy who's about 225 and runs a 4.640 and can throw a deep ball as good as anybody I've ever seen. So I think you got a little bit of both there with Tyler.
Was he one of these guys in high school, and we've had him here with Leonard Fournette and some others, I just use him as an example because I saw him play in high school, that was a man among boys you could tell right away?
You know, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. We've had some good athletes. I think Tyler was obviously ahead of the game, but I don't think he really developed all the physical tools where he is now till after he graduated. You know, he wasn't quite that tall. He wasn't quite that big. He always could run and throw. But I wouldn't put him in that category.
Tell me about personality, work ethic, all that kind of stuff.
Well, again, he's the kind of guy that his positivity and his team-oriented approach is it's collective. You know, kids want to be around him. He's the kind of guy that's a natural leader. I think he obviously overcomes adversity as good as anyone I've ever been around, and he did that at a very young age. And to be able to have that grit to stick to it and, you know, be able to set those short-term goals but always have your eye on the finish line, I think Tyler was very mature for his age.
What kind of adversity did he have to overcome?
Well, we had a situation that occurred at our high school, and it was actually a hazing situation. And they let our head coach, who had been here a long time, go. I was a coach in the program, and I had been a head coach at another high school. I'm also an assistant principal, so I wore a bunch of hats. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of put into that position of being head coach for Tyler's senior year. We had a lot of kids leave the program. We kept a few of our best athletes stayed true to their school, which was one was Tyler. So being able to deal with those, you know, negative things that were surrounding our program at that time, and everybody licking their chops thinking, oh, we're going to get a shot at Hamilton. They're not going to be the powerhouse they usually are. And then to have Tyler be the leader of that group and, you know, take us into the playoffs and win a couple games, I think we exceeded expectation based upon what had happened that previous year.
When you watched him through college and followed him through college, was there anything that surprised you?
I was surprised he got hurt so often, you know, mm-hmm. and it was just those kind of bad luck, goofy things. And fortunately, no knees or no anything like that. But, you know, when you know, a break here, break there, it's like, God, give this kid a break, you know. And, you know, wherever he went, he obviously mastered the system they were running. And so my thing with Tyler was every time he was healthy, he played great. And then he'd have this unfortunate setback. But again, with that, I think sometimes those things make you better in the long run.
What's the old saying? It's not about how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get up.
Exactly.
To be clear, Tyler had nothing to do with the hazing incident, right?
Absolutely not. No, he wasn't involved in that whatsoever.
So let's talk about personality-wise. Is he a funny guy? Is he a serious type, a studious type? Tell me about him, Dick.
Great, great personality. Again, I think he's got a great sense of humor when he focuses, when it's time. I think he knows how to turn it on and turn it off. Mm-hmm. You know, some guys know when it's time to focus, and they're easy to get focused, and boom, I'm back on it. And then there's other guys that they can't, once it starts getting fun, or I guess you could call it, they can't get back. And I think he can turn it on and turn it off really well, which I think endears him to his teammates and his coaches, because he knows how to go, okay, now it's time to go to work.
Yeah, let's talk about leadership abilities and qualities and those kind of things. What did you see in him then?
Again, I think, you know, and they say, you know, leaders are made. Well, he was a quarterback anyway, so obviously that's a leadership position. But always in control, never too high, never too low. You know, it didn't matter if we were ahead or behind. He was going to make plays that would help us. And I think he was also real positive to his teammates, the kind of guy that would encourage guys, but also not be afraid to say, hey, here's what we got to do. Let's get on it. Quit screwing around. Let's get focused and do what we need to do.
Practice habits. Last guy there, first last one to leave, first one there. Studied a lot of Absolutely. Film. A lot of weightlifting. Yeah. Tell me about him.
I think, you know, we talked. I hung out with Tyler for about an hour and a half on the first day of the draft. Mm-hmm. And we were talking, and, you know, his biggest thing was, you know, the injuries really helped me understand how much work coaches put in. And it really helped me learn to watch film even better and understand what people are looking for. So even when he was down and couldn't, you know, play, he was still taking opportunities to better his game and become a better quarterback.
Can you tell me some stories, instances, either on or off the field that you remember and are typically Tyler, if you will?
Well, Tyler was the guy that, you know, we had our situation that I said, and the kids that remained were great kids. Unfortunately, they dealt with the rest of the situation and those individuals. So we were coming back from that,
And I came in with a very disciplined approach. I'm kind of one of those old school guys and maybe a little more disciplined than it was. And Tyler was the guy. I'd be like, all right, Tyler, you guys are going to screw up here. And he would look at me and go, no, we're not, coach. And I go, yes, you are. And then I'm going to give everybody up down. So you got to be on board with this because I'm trying to make a point here. And, you know, he was one of those guys, I think, that was mature enough to be able to understand the big picture and be able to lead you through that. And then, you know, have the kids, have his teammates understand what was going on and why we were doing specific things. So those are the biggest things I remember about him. You know, he was getting recruited by everybody, too. So that was a huge positive for us in that particular time of turmoil.
What do you think his biggest strength is going to be going into the NFL, or biggest strengths?
I don't know. I think his running ability is great because it's you know, you're not expecting that, but he can. And, you know, with the way it is now, the defense can't hit quarterbacks anyway. And you wonder why the running quarterback is thriving in the NFL. Well, those guys used to get crushed, RG3, and those, they'd be out of the game in 3 years. Well, now they can't hit them. So now you can do that. So to have a guy who can throw that kind of a deep ball and has all the arm angle passes, and, you know, if you flush him from the pocket, you might have a problem containing him. I think those things are going to make him special.
What's going to be his biggest challenges, some of the challenges he'll face heading into the NFL?
I think like anybody in the NFL, you know, the speed of everybody else, obviously it's ramped up. Every, you know, the best guy of every team in every college is in the NFL. There's not some guys who are average or lower. So I think catching up with all of those things for any new young quarterback, that's, I think, definitely a stepping stone. But again, I think Tyler's been able to adjust everything else he's dealt with. So I don't see that being a problem. But I would think for any quarterback, that's your biggest concern in your early years.
It's hard to compare anybody to anybody, but if you were to take everything together, put it all in one big amalgam of leadership, skills, athletic ability, type of play, can you give me some names of quarterbacks that he would remind you of?
You know, I want to say Roethlisberger, but I think he's a better runner and he's not quite as big. Mm-hmm. I think he throws a deep ball like Peyton Manning. I thought Peyton Manning was a great deep ball passer. He could throw that, and Tyler throws a great deep ball. I mean, it's always right there. And then, you know, and then I watch the arm angles and all that stuff, and that's just the new game. So you look at those guys that can do those different things. You know, Mahomes from Texas Tech. I mean, Tyler played at Texas Tech. Is he a Mahomes? No. But can he throw those different arm angles and hit those difficult passes? Yes. So, I mean, right off the top of my head, I would say I see a little bit of those three.
If I were to ask you where Tyler's going to be a year from now and what we're going to be talking about, what would you say?
I think he's going to be the starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Dick. Any final thoughts?
No, man. I appreciate it, and I think you guys are going to love him down there, and I can't wait to go to New Orleans and watch some games.
I hope so. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Pardon me. That's Dick Banaszewski, Tyler Shough's high school head coach. We'll take a break. Pardon me. I'll get something to drink. And then we'll find out what Don Dubuque's got coming up. He's in for Newell today here on WWL.